The Friend Magazine for May 2015. Contents: Friends by Mail. Priceless Temple Blessings by President Thomas S. Monson. Conference News. Conference Notes. Show and Tell, Conference Edition. Honest Gabe by Lorena Moody. Family Fun Time, Repentance. Bright Idea Poster. What It Means to Be a Member by Tina Dean. Lost on Holiday by Kai G. Fun Stuff, Women of Faith by Carolyn Colton. Cody and the Campout by Jessica Larson. Madeline's Pig by Mikkel George. A Good Night's Sleep. Bulletin Board. Jacob's Baptism Interview by Angela Westover Hunter. My Baptismal Covenant by Tamara Larson. Fun Stuff, Hidden Picture by David Helton. Craft, Flowers for Mother's Day. Smiles and Seagull Lilies by Michelle H. Mirabil. Family History Mystery, Your Family. Music, Teach Me to Walk in the Light by Clara W. McMaster. The Bad Mood Bus by Aaron Jones Price. Fun Stuff, You Found the Lost Sheep by Ari Vandegraff. Coloring Page. Puzzle Pals by Laura Jill Jennings. A Puzzle for You. Scriptures for Spencer by Marcus B. Nash. The Prodigal Son by Jean Bingham. Matt and Mandy. Article of Faith Number 6. Better to Be Nice by Kimberly Reed. What Does It Mean to Hold the Priesthood by Elder David A. Bednar. A Lesson from My Father by Elder David A. Bednar. P.S. The Prodigal Son and Dear Parents and Teachers. End of Contents.
Friends by Mail. Easter with a Friend. For Easter, we decided to follow the directions on how to make your own Easter kite, April 2014. Everyone had a great time making and flying them. Thanks for the fun idea. Soraya, Allison, Zan, Sam, Hannah, Brooklyn, Rachel, Benjamin, and Andrew A., and Lily G., ages 13, 9, 11, 4, 3, 6, 7, 5, 1, and 2, Utah, USA.
Being Strong. I really enjoy the story Challenges Help Us Grow, March 2014. Like President Uchtdorf, I worry about my future. Although it's hard, I know I will get through my trials and they will strengthen me. Thank you for your wonderful stories. Sophie W., age 12, Idaho, USA.
Big Enough to Help. I like the story Big Enough in the May 2014 Friend. I like to help around the house, too. Helping makes me feel good inside, because I know it's what Jesus would want me to do. Ava S., age 5, California, USA.
How We Use the Friend. My mom and I read the weekly reading suggestions for the Old Testament Scripture Challenge, January 2014. We loved it. It was a great learning experience. Thank you so much. Shelton N. H. 8, Utah, USA.
Dear friends, are you getting ready to be baptized? It's a big step. If you have questions about it, you'll find answers on page 24. If you've been baptized, you can stay clean just like you were on your baptism day. To find out how, read Honest Gabe on page 8 and learn about repentance on page 10. Love, the Friend. Was there a letter or story in this month's issue that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 48 to find out how. End of Friends by Mail.
A Conference Message from the Prophet. Priceless Temple Blessings by President Thomas S. Monson. My beloved brothers and sisters, I send my love and greetings to each of you. This conference marks 7 years since I was sustained as president of the church. They have been busy years, filled with many blessings. Among the most enjoyable and sacred of these blessings has been my opportunity to dedicate temples. This past November, it was my privilege to dedicate the beautiful new Phoenix, Arizona temple. The building of temples shows very clearly how much the church is growing. This morning, I am very pleased to announce 3 new temples. They will be built in Abidjan, Ivory Coast, Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and Bangkok, Thailand. The blessings of the temple are priceless. As we enter through the doors of the temple, we leave behind the distractions and confusion of the world. Inside the temple, we find beauty and order. In the temple, we can find peace. May our Heavenly Father bless us that we may have the spirit of temple worship, be obedient to His commandments, and follow carefully the steps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Adapted from Blessings of the Temple, Enzyme, May 2015. Temple Math. 144 temples now open, plus 13 being built, plus 13 being designed, plus 5 being renovated, and plus 3 new ones just announced. The total is? Talk about it. Which temple is closest to you? How can you prepare to go to the temple after you turn 12? How can you find names of your ancestors to take with you? End of a conference message from the Prophet, Priceless Temple Blessings, by President Thomas S. Monson. Read by Wes Nelson.
Conference Notes. Here are some great stories and pictures from the April 2015 General Conference. What stories did you like best? Overcoming Fear. One day, while playing with his friends as a boy, Elder David A. Bednar accidentally broke a window in a store near his home. The glass shattered and set off a security alarm. Elder Bednar thought he would have to go to prison. He was so afraid that he hid under his bed until his parents helped him calm down and apologize to the store owner. Elder Bednar used this story to teach that all of us are scared sometimes, but when we look to Jesus Christ and follow Him, we can feel peace instead of fear. Write down what this teaches you.
Staying safe. Sister Linda K. Burton told the story of a family who moved into a new house. The yard didn't have a fence around it. The father put stakes in the corners of the yard and tied strings around the stakes to mark the edge of the yard. He told his 5 children that if they stayed inside the boundaries, they would be safe. The children listened to their dad, even when a ball rolled past the string. They were safe and happy. Write down what this teaches you.
Grateful for the Gospel. Bishop Gerald Cossé spoke about 3 men who lived in a village in Africa. When it was time for a district conference, they walked for 2 weeks through muddy roads to get to the meeting. They brought tithing from people in their village to give to church leaders. They stayed for a week so that they could take the sacrament before heading home again, carrying boxes of copies of the Book of Mormon on their heads to bring to their village. What sacrifices are we willing to make to live the gospel? Write down what this teaches you.
Strong like Moroni. Elder Ulysses Suarez told the story of a boy who followed the example of Captain Moroni. The boy saw his classmates looking at bad pictures on their cell phones. He had to make a quick decision. He was filled with courage and told his friends that what they were doing was not right. Most of his classmates made fun of him, but one friend decided to stop looking at the pictures. Elder Suarez said we can be strong like Captain Moroni and stand up for our testimony of truth. Write down what this teaches you.
Show and Tell, Conference Edition. I had the chance to sing in the women's session choir. I invited a non-member friend to come watch. When all of the people started coming in, I felt nervous, but the Spirit really calmed me down. I was also not feeling great because of a hurt finger and was super hungry, but I still made it and it was fun. One cool thing was that I was a few feet away from the Prophet. I loved listening to all of the speakers. All the choir practice was worth it. Jaden T. with her sister Lauren, ages 10 and 14, Utah, USA.
Building this scene of General Conference was a team effort for David, Emiliana, Michael, and Johnny G., ages 6, 3, 8, and 10, Utah, USA. Everyone had a part to play and a block to contribute.
My favorite talk was by Elder Clayton. I liked his story about the girl who survived. I thought that was really cool that she walked so far and was so young. The girl looked around and saw a light. Elder Clayton related that to the gospel. It is kind of like looking for the iron rod. Simon S., age 8, Pennsylvania, USA.
Max and Alice B., both age 5, go to church in Wales. Their favorite part of conference was sustaining the prophet and then singing, "We thank thee, O God, for a prophet." They felt happy and tingly inside because they loved President Monson so much.
I liked Elder Renlund's talk. It had interesting stories in it. I liked one of his sayings, "If we don't try, we're just Latter-day sinners. If we don't persevere, we're Latter-day quitters. And if we don't allow others to try, we're just Latter-day hypocrites. As we try, persevere, and help others to do the same, we are true Latter-day saints. I want to be better and keep living the gospel every day." Shelby S., age 10, California, USA.
Tamira, Tajanea, and Haley R., ages 11, 11, and 14, Texas, USA, watched the women's session from the emergency room. Tamira hurt her eye just before the broadcast, so their family grabbed the iPad and headed to the hospital. The three sisters said watching it made the time pass quickly. They even got to tell the doctor about President Eyring.
President Uchtdorf's talk on grace was my favorite. Before I listened to it, I didn't know what God's grace was or how it affects us. I learned that it is through grace that I can repent and become clean so that I can live with him again, as long as I have faith. I like how President Uchtdorf said that Satan has no lasting power. It makes me really happy to know that through God's grace, I can overcome my weakness and become my best self. Hunter S., age 11, Maryland, USA.
Other contributors to Show and Tell Conference Edition. Tyler A., age 6, North Carolina, USA. Emma P., age 8, Nebraska, USA. Daniela L., age 10, Idaho, USA. End of the section, Show and Tell Conference Edition.
Conference news. A new face in primary. Meet Sister Mary R. Durham, the new second counselor in the primary general presidency. She lived in Japan for 3 years when her husband was mission president, and she knows a lot about children. She and her husband have 7. Conference quotes. Please do not give up, ever. Elder L. Whitney Clayton of the 70. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has never been stronger. Elder Quentin L. Cook of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. God hears your silent prayers. President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Stories of bravery. Match the story with the person who told it. 1. A 7-year-old girl named Sailor walked a mile through the cold rain to get help after an airplane crash. A light in the distance gave her hope and courage to keep going. Elder L. Whitney Clayton of the 70. 2. A boy went to church by himself every week. Finally, he got his father's permission to be baptized. Elder Raphael E. Pino of the 70. 3. A young woman named Marie held up the Bible to protect the missionaries from an angry mob who wanted to hurt them. Sister Bonnie L. Oscarson, Young Women General President. 4. A boy grabbed his older brother's wrist and held on to save him from falling off a cliff. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12. End of Conference News, read by Susie Venable.
Honest Gabe by Lorena Moody, based on a true story. Gabe wanted to be honest, but he didn't want to get in trouble. Let us walk honestly, Romans chapter 13, verse 13. Gabe was in the kitchen, but he could hear Mrs. Cole at the front door talking with Mom.
I don't know how it happened. I just noticed little scratches all over my car door, and they weren't there this morning.
Gabe's heart sank. He hadn't meant to mess up Mrs. Cole's car. He'd been playing in the dirt next to Mrs. Cole's driveway. He was just drawing in the dirt with a stick. But soon he found himself using the stick to draw lines up and down on the back door of the car, fascinated with how the tiny lines looked in the paint. He thought they'd go away if he just brushed over them with his hand, like the lines he made in the dirt, but they didn't. Gabe heard the door shut as Mom walked outside to see the scratches. He had to think fast. There wasn't much time. He ran upstairs to his room, shut the door, and plopped onto his bed. He closed his eyes and felt his heart thumping. Slowly, he lifted his head. He glanced at the photo of Grandma on his bookcase. He was glad she didn't know what he had done. Grandma was always honest and had taught him to be honest, too. When she was young, she decided she would never tell a lie so that others would always believe her. Slowly, Gabe slid off the bed and walked over to Grandma's picture. He wanted to be someone people could believe, too. He pulled out his jar of coins. He'd been doing extra chores to earn money for a toy he really wanted. If he told the truth, he'd have to give up the money he'd saved to help fix the car. Gabe wanted to be honest, but he didn't want to get in trouble. He didn't want Mom and Mrs. Cole to be mad at him. Besides, no one had seen him scratch the car. He could just say he didn't know what happened. But that thought made him squirm inside. He knew that even though no one had seen him, Heavenly Father and Jesus knew. He couldn't lie to them. He didn't want to lie to them. He slowly walked down the stairs to the front door. He heard his mom outside asking his older brother if he knew what had happened to the car. Gabe straightened his shoulders and stepped outside. Mom turned as he walked toward her.
Gabe, do you know how Mrs. Cole's car got scraped up?
Gabe took a deep breath and said,
I did it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your car.
Mom put her hand on Gabe's shoulder.
Thank you for being honest,
she said quietly. She turned to Mrs. Cole and said,
We're so sorry Gabe scraped up your car. We'll pay for the damage.
I'll help earn the money,
Gabe said quickly. He thought about the hard-earned money in the jar on his dresser. He wished he'd never picked up that stick. But he also felt relieved. It hadn't been easy, but he had been honest. Gabe knew Grandma would be proud, and Heavenly Father would be happy too. The author lives in West Virginia, USA. Note, turn the page for an activity to go with this story. End of the story. Honest Gabe by Lorena Moody. Read by Kristen Hawkins.
Family Fun Time. Read Honest Gabe, page 8. Repentance isn't just for big sins. It's something we should do every day to help us with small sins, mistakes, and bad habits. When we repent, we ask Heavenly Father to help us do better next time. Repenting reminds us how much Heavenly Father loves us. Be sure to get an adult's help with this craft and recipe. Getting back on track. Have you ever used a compass to find your way? The needle of a compass always points north. Repentance is like using a compass. Just like a compass helps us find our way again, when we repent, we can get back on track on our path to Heavenly Father. You can make your own floating compass. Step 1. Hold a needle in one hand and slide a bar magnet down the needle. Don't slide the magnet back and forth. Just slide it in one direction about 30 times. If your needle is magnetized, it should be able to pick up a small pin. Step 2. Pour some water into a bowl. Step 3. set a plastic milk or water bottle lid flat side down on the water and carefully balance the needle on top. Wait for the lid to stop moving and for the needle to point north. Rice pudding. You'll need 4.5 cups of milk, 1 cup of uncooked white rice, 1/8 teaspoon of salt, 1/3 cup of sugar, 1/4 teaspoon of vanilla, and fresh fruit, optional. Step 1. Put the milk, rice, and salt in a pot and bring to a boil over medium-high heat, stirring constantly. Step 2. Turn heat to low, cover, and simmer for 15 to 20 minutes, stirring occasionally, until the rice is cooked through. Step 3. Take the pot off the heat and stir in the sugar and vanilla. Serve hot or chilled with fresh fruit. End of the section, Family Fun Time, read by Wes Nelson.
Bright Idea Poster. This month's Bright Idea Poster is filled with pictures of birds, flowers, bushes, trees, rain clouds, and butterflies. The caption reads, "I want my life to be as clean as earth right after rain." End of this month's Bright Idea Poster. Read by Miles Williams.
What It Means to Be a Member by Tina Dean, based on a true story. What could Cammy and her teacher have to talk about? I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Children's Songbook, page 77.
"Your turn,"
Monica said to Cammy. Cammy listened to the beat of the ropes hitting the pavement.
One, two, and jump.
Cammy leaped between the ropes, raising one foot and then the other. Double Dutch was one of her favorite things to do during recess.
"Hey, Cammy!"
Cammy turned around to see her friend Chelsea waving her over.
"Hey, I was wondering where you were,"
Cammy said with a grin, but her smile faded when she saw Chelsea's face. Her friend looked sad.
"Can you come here really quick?"
"Yeah, what's wrong?"
Cammy asked, jogging over. Chelsea took a deep breath and stared at her shoes.
"I just wanted to let you know that I can't come over after school today. My mom said we can't spend so much time together."
"What? Why?"
"'Cause you're Mormon."
Cammy felt her mouth fall open. She didn't know what to say. Chelsea had been coming over to Cammy's house a lot lately to work on school projects.
"My mom's worried I might learn some things from you that our family doesn't agree with,"
Chelsea said. Cammy felt like she was frozen in place.
"I guess I'd better go,"
Chelsea said and walked away. Cammy sat down and picked at the grass for the rest of recess. When she got home, she told Mom what happened.
"Is there something wrong with being Mormon?"
Cammy asked. Mom paused for a minute.
"Do you think there's something wrong with being a Mormon?"
Cammy thought about it.
"No. I mean, we believe in following Jesus and helping others. How can Chelsea's parents not like that?"
"Well, I think sometimes people don't understand what we believe. They don't know what it means to be a member of the church."
"What does it mean to be a member of the church?"
Cammy thought as she drifted off to sleep that night. The next day was a field trip, and her whole class was excited as they stood in line in front of the bus. Cammy groaned when she heard the seating assignments. She wanted to sit by Monica, and instead she had to sit by her teacher in the front seat. But soon, Mrs. Weir started talking to her, and Cammy's bad mood didn't last long.
"I've noticed that many of the children in my classes who are Mormon are good students."
Cammy blinked in surprise. She had expected her teacher to talk about school stuff, not this.
"Will you tell me a little about your religion?"
Cammy told Mrs. Weir the full name of the church. She told her about when she was baptized and about going to primary. Mrs. Weir had a few questions about what Cammy could eat and drink and what she believed about God.
Cammie did her best to answer. She even remembered some lines from the article of faith she was memorizing. Later that afternoon, Cammie ran through her front door, excited to tell Mom all about the conversation.
"I'm proud of you, Cammie,"
Mom said.
"And guess what? By being a good example, you're helping Mrs. Weir learn something really important. Do you know what?"
Cammie smiled and nodded. Chelsea's mom didn't know it yet, but Cammie's teacher was noticing.
"I'm teaching her what it means to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints."
End of the article, What It Means to Be a Member, by Tina Dean, based on a true story, read by Charlene Stewart.
Lost on Holiday, a true story written by you. By Kai G, age 7, England. One Easter holiday, I went to Scotland with my mum, my two sisters, and my grandparents. We stayed in a caravan just a few meters away from a large field with trees and some friendly horses. A caravan is like a camper or RV. Every day, my sisters and I would go feed the horses. It was fun. Mum didn't mind because she could see us and knew we were safe. One day, though, I went on my own to play in the area, which was quite far from our caravan. Mum had told me never to go down there on my own, but I went anyways. When I finished playing, I started back towards the caravan, but I didn't know which way to go. All the caravans looked the same. I walked all over the place, but I could not find my way. Every way seemed to be a dead end with bushes. What I did not know was that my mum and granddad were looking all over for me and getting worried. After a while, I was very frightened, so I thought to myself, I should pray to my Heavenly Father. After I finished my prayer, I knew I had to go through the bushes. I pushed through them and could see the trees up ahead and knew that was where the field and horses were. I knew I was near the caravan and ran as fast as I could. I said another prayer, thanking my Heavenly Father for showing me the way back. When I got back, my mom and granddad were still looking for me. They were so pleased to see me. They hugged me, and I told them what happened. They were cross because I had gone away, but very happy I had prayed when I was lost and afraid. End of the story, Lost on Holiday, read by Ethan Nelson.
Fun Stuff, Women of Faith, by Carolyn Colton. Many women in the Scriptures had faith in Heavenly Father that helped them do wonderful things. Can you match their names with what they did? If you need help, turn to the scripture verses. Check your answers on page 48. The women of faith are Sariah, Elizabeth, Dorcas, also called Tabitha, Abish, Miriam, Deborah. 1. By thinking quickly and being brave, I saved my baby brother from being killed by the Pharaoh. My brother's name was Moses. See Exodus chapter 2, verses 2 through 10, and Numbers chapter 26, verse 59. 2. I was a powerful judge and prophetess who helped the Israelites by teaching them to trust in God. With my help, they beat the Canaanites in battle. See Judges chapter 4. 3. When I was very old and pregnant with my first child, my cousin Mary came to visit me. I felt my baby jump for joy inside me. I was filled with the Holy Ghost and knew that Mary would give birth to Jesus. See Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 44. 4. I lived at the same time as Jesus, and I was called his disciple. I helped the poor and loved to serve others. The Apostle Peter raised me from the dead. See Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 41. 5. I lived in Jerusalem with my husband and children. When God told my husband we needed to leave, I believed and we obeyed. I helped lead my family through the wilderness and over the ocean to the promised land. See 1 Nephi chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. 6. I was a servant in King Lamoni's house. I had a testimony of Jesus because of a vision my father had. I shared my testimony with lots of people, even though I was scared. See Alma chapter 19, verses 16 through 17. End of the section, Fun Stuff, Women of Faith by Carolyn Colton, read by Charlene Stewart.
Cody and the Campout by Jessica Larson, based on a true story. As I have loved you, love one another. Children's Songbook, page 136. Thomas ran through the house looking for Dad. His scout patrol meeting started in 10 minutes, and he needed help tying his neckerchief.
Dad, can you help me?
Thomas pointed at his neckerchief, but Dad was busy talking on the phone.
Of course Cody can join our patrol,
Thomas heard Dad say.
In fact, we have a campout next weekend.
Dad talked some more, then smiled and hung up.
Who was that?
Thomas asked.
You know Cody from school? That was his dad. Cody's going to join our den and come on the campout next weekend.
Going on overnight campouts was Thomas's favorite part of being an 11-year-old scout, and he liked Cody. But he was confused about one thing.
But Cody doesn't go to our church.
I know,
Dad said.
Cody's church doesn't do scouts, so he wants to join our patrol.
But everybody in our patrol is from our ward,
Thomas thought.
How would Cody fit in?
Before the campout, everyone met up at the church building.
Hi,
Cody said to Thomas. The boys talked for a bit, and then Cody said,
I brought a two-person tent. Want to share it with me?
Thomas grinned and said, yes. Soon the scouts set off for the mountains. When they got there, the boys ran off to set up their tents.
Ready?
Thomas called to Cody.
Ready.
The two boys pushed the tent poles into the ground. Their tent rose up and made a long shadow.
That was easy,
Cody said.
Race you to the river.
Cody bolted away and Thomas followed behind. Cody took a turn leading the hike and lighting the campfire. He liked exploring and was really friendly. Thomas was glad Cody got along with the group so well. At dinner that night, Cody and Thomas grabbed their tinfoil dinners and joined the other patrol members at the picnic table.
Brother Wilson, will you say the prayer?
Dad asked one of the other leaders. Thomas folded his arms and looked over at Cody. He wasn't sure how Cody prayed at his church, but Cody bowed his head too and said amen at the end, just like everybody else.
Why did your dad call him Brother Wilson?
Cody whispered.
Is he really his brother?
It's because we're all children of Heavenly Father,
Thomas explained.
Do you pray the same way we do?
Cody smiled.
We use some different words, but it's mostly the same.
Pretty soon, it was time for s'mores around the campfire.
Now we'll have Cody give the spiritual thought for tonight,
Dad said. Thomas was surprised, but Cody gave him a thumbs up as he walked to the front of the group.
Thanks for letting me come,
Cody said.
I was a little nervous at first, but you've all been really nice. I'm going to share one of my favorite scriptures.
Cody read,
A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you.
Thomas recognized the scripture.
I go to a different church than you guys, but we all show that we love God in the same way. We love each other. Thanks for being my friends.
Dad stood and thanked Cody.
Now let's sing Love One Another to finish our evening,
he said. Cody listened and smiled while the group sang.
Nice song,
he said as he crawled into their tent.
It was just like my scripture.
Thomas smiled and climbed into his sleeping bag.
Cody and I might go to different churches,
he thought,
but we can still be great friends.
The author lives in Arizona, USA. End of the article, Cody and the Campout by Jessica Larson. Read by Spencer Carter.
Friends Who Care, A Pig for Courtney, from an interview by Mikkel George. Hi, I'm Madeline.
When I found out that a little girl in my ward named Courtney had cancer, I wanted to help her. I have a little brother the same age as Courtney, and I knew I would be sad if my brother was going through what she is, so I found a way to raise some money for her treatments. I wanted to help. Just before the country fair, I found out that Courtney was sick with cancer. My neighborhood decided to have a garage sale to raise money for her treatments. When I saw everyone else working so hard, I wanted to do my part, but I didn't have any money to give. My three little pigs. I had three pigs, Oreo, Lightning, and Rosie. I took care of them since they were babies. I loved giving them marshmallows, taking them for walks on leashes, and spending time with them. I was planning to sell one of my pigs at the county fair to help save up for my goal to become a veterinarian. The day of the fair, I decided to use the money from selling my pig at the fair to help Courtney. When the day of the fair came, I was a little sad because at first my pig wasn't raising much money. But when people at the fair heard that the money was for Courtney, they wanted to pitch in. We helped. I got to give the money from my pig to the garage sale fundraiser. By the end of the fundraiser, we had helped raise a lot of money for Courtney's treatments. You can make a difference. One of my favorite scripture stories is the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Savior taught that we can always do something to help the people around us. I was happy I could help in my little way. You're never too young to help. No matter how old you are, you can make a difference.
Friends Who Care. A Pig for Courtney. From an interview by Mikkel George. How you can help. If you know someone with cancer, be a good friend. Listen to them. Give them a hug. Surprise them with something special you made. Pay tithing and fast offerings. Bishops can use fast offering money to help people in their ward pay for treatments. Courtney's courage. Courtney is done with cancer treatments, but she goes back for tests to make sure she's still healthy. Her hair is growing back, and she loves having more energy. She always has a good attitude and a smile. Courtney and her family are grateful for how much Heavenly Father has blessed them. Give us a hand. How do you follow Jesus by helping others? Trace your hand and send us your story and photo, along with your parents' permission. Find out how on page 48.
End of the section, Friends Who Care. A Pig for Courtney. Read by Eden Reinwand.
A good night's sleep. The Lord tells us that when we take care of our bodies, we shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. Take this quiz to make sure you're getting the rest you need. Question. You're falling asleep at school, and your friend offers you an energy drink to help you wake up. Do you take it? If your answer is yes, remember, energy drinks will only keep you awake for a little while. They are harmful because they contain lots of caffeine and sugar. If your answer is no, you decide to get more sleep tonight. Depending on your age, your body needs 9 to 12 hours of sleep each night. Question. After school, you have soccer, dance, and art class. It's exhausting. Do you quit some after-school activities? If your answer is no, remember, all these activities can be fun, but it can be hard on your body. If you're always tired, talk to a parent about doing just one or two activities. If your answer is yes, remember, you need to give yourself time every day to be with your family and rest and relax. Question. It's almost time for bed. Do you start playing a computer game? If your answer is yes, remember, watching TV and playing on a phone or computer before bed keeps your mind too active and makes it harder to sleep. Turn off the digital devices at least an hour before bedtime and do things that will calm your mind. If your answer is no, good. Your mind needs to relax before you go to bed. Question. Your friend invites you to a movie on a school night, but you know you need to study for a math test. Do you go? If your answer is yes, remember you might have a good time, but you'll get home late. Cramming for a test isn't a good way to study, and you won't get the sleep you need to do well. If your answer is no, studying and getting lots of sleep will help you do your best on your test. End of the article, A Good Night's Sleep, read by Spencer Carter.
Bulletin board. Quick bites. Spread peanut butter on a wheat tortilla and sprinkle with cinnamon and sugar. Roll up and slice into sections. Look to your mother. Learn from her strengths, her courage, and her faithfulness. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Mothers and Daughters, Ensign, May 2010, page 19. Natalie S., age 11, of Texas, USA, said, I helped my mom take care of my dad when he was ill. Give us a hand. So far, you've sent us 4,843 stories about caring and helping. Go to page 48 to find out how to send us your helping handprint. Springtime sprouts. Grow your own carrots in a bottle and watch what happens above and below the soil. Be sure to get an adult's help. 1. Ask an adult to help you cut off the top of a clear plastic 2-liter bottle. 2. Fill the bottle with potting soil. Leave about 2 inches of space at the top. 3. Sprinkle a packet of carrot seeds evenly across the soil. Cover them with a thin layer of soil and pat the soil down. 4. Pour in a little water, just enough to make the soil damp. 5. Put your carrots in a sunny place, keep them well watered, and watch what happens. Stand tall. I will do those things on the Sabbath that will help me feel close to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. My Gospel Standards. What do you do on the Sabbath to feel close to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ? End of Bulletin Board. Read by Jane Wise.
Jacob's Baptism Interview by Angela Westover Hunter, based on a true story. He that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost. 2 Nephi, chapter 31, verse 12.
Okay, Mom, I'm ready to go to my interview,
Jacob said, walking out of his room. He wore his church shirt, nice pants, and his tie knotted backward.
Did you tie your tie by yourself?
Mom asked.
Yeah, I found the instructions in the back of my Cub Scout book, but it doesn't look quite right.
Mom knelt down and helped Jacob turn his tie around, then gave him a hug.
Mom, why do I need an interview before I get baptized?
Jacob asked as they drove to the church.
Well, part of the bishop's job is to make sure you're getting baptized for the right reasons, not just because you turn 8 or your friends are getting baptized.
When they got to the church, Jacob jumped out of the car, ran inside, and sat down to wait in the foyer. In a few minutes, Bishop Simmons came out of his office.
Hey, Jacob. Looks like it's your turn.
Bishop Simmons shook Jacob's hand and led him into the office.
Nice tie.
Jacob smiled and sat down across from the bishop.
So, Jacob, you're getting ready to be baptized.
Yep, I can't wait.
Bishop Simmons grinned.
Glad to hear it. It's an important step to get back to Heavenly Father. So let's talk about why you want to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Well, I like that we have a living prophet and the Book of Mormon,
Jacob answered.
We talked about it at home, and I prayed about it too.
How did you feel when you prayed about it?
Jacob twisted his tie around his finger.
It felt right. I want to get baptized like Jesus.
Jesus is our very best example. Tell me about when he was baptized.
Jacob's feet swung as he talked.
Jesus asked John the Baptist to baptize him. They went to the River Jordan, and Jesus went all the way under the water. That's called immersion. Jesus made Heavenly Father happy, and I want to be like Jesus.
I can tell you've been learning a lot about this. Have you learned what happens when you're baptized?
Yep. I'll be a member of the church. And when I'm confirmed, I'll get the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Bishop Simmons nodded.
The Holy Ghost will help you your whole life. And whenever you do something wrong, you can repent, and the Holy Ghost can help you do better.
Jacob smiled.
Mom says the Holy Ghost is the best gift I'll get this year.
Bishop Simmons and Jacob talked for a few more minutes about Joseph Smith, the Book of Mormon, and choosing the rite.
Jacob, I think you're ready to be baptized.
Bishop Simmons said as he stood up and shook Jacob's hand.
Congratulations.
Jacob ran out of the office grinning.
Mom, I'm ready.
The author lives in Utah, USA.
Note, we can be baptized because the priesthood was restored. Turn to page 44 to learn more.
Sidebar. We covenant to take Christ's name upon us and serve him to the end. Sister Carol M. Stevens, first counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. Do we know what we have? Ensign, November 2013, page 12.
End of the article, Jacob's Baptism Interview, by Angela Westover Hunter. Read by Julia Carter.
My Baptismal Covenant by Tamara S. Larson. I'll make a sacred covenant on my baptism day. I'll promise Heavenly Father to follow in His way. I'll follow Christ's example, be honest, good, and true. By serving others kindly, I'll do as He would do. I'll gladly take upon me the name of Jesus Christ and promise to remember His loving sacrifice. By keeping the commandments, I'll learn the ways of God and stand up as His witness, at home and far abroad. Then, as I keep my covenant, I know I will be blessed. The Holy Ghost will guide me all through my earthly test. And when I make wrong choices, I know I can repent. The sweet peace of forgiveness returns then, heaven sent. Watch a music video for When Jesus Christ Was Baptized at children.lds.org. Click on Videos and Music. If you've already been baptized, you can change the words, I made a sacred covenant on my baptism day. I promised Heavenly Father to follow in His way, and I gladly took upon me the name of Jesus Christ and promised to remember His loving sacrifice. End of the article, My Baptismal Covenant, read by Maya Reinwand.
Flowers for Mother's Day. Make a whole bouquet of daffodils for your mom, grandma, or another special person. Be sure to get an adult's help. 1. Trace the flower shape onto two different colors of yellow, orange, or white paper. Trace the long piece onto one of the papers. You can also print copies of the template at friend.lds.org on colored paper. 2. Cut out the shapes. Glue one flower on top of the other so all the petals show. 3. Fold along the solid lines on the rectangle. Cut the dotted lines. Glue one and over the other to make a tube. 4. Glue the wide tabs to the center of the flower. 5. Gently push down on the fringe so it sticks out. 6. Tape a plastic straw to the back of the flower. End of Flowers for Mother's Day. Read by Jane Wise.
Smiles and Sago Lilies by Michelle H. Mirabel. Based on a true story. Rachel thought of the perfect surprise for Mama. The world wants daily little kindly deeds. Hymns, number 230. Hush, little baby, don't say a word, Mama sang to baby Charlie. The harsh wind howled and blew red dirt through the cracks of the one-room log cabin. Rachel's whole family couldn't fall asleep that night. The clock hands pointed straight up to midnight as Papa got up to start a fire, and Mama gazed at the dark sky out the window. Rachel closed her eyes tight and tried to fall asleep.
Then she heard her mother whisper to her father, "Look at all this dirt. I miss the green grass and pretty flowers at our old home," she said. "Remember when I used to pin flowers to my dress? I miss that." Rachel missed the flowers at their old house, too. Their new cabin didn't have any flowers growing nearby. In fact, Rachel had noticed only a few little white flowers in all of southern Utah. Mama said they were called sago lilies.
"Maybe I can find one of those little white flowers tomorrow for Mama,"
she thought, just before falling asleep. When the sun shone through the window near Rachel's bed, she knew it was time to get up. She pulled on her dress and tied a ribbon in her hair. She swept the kitchen floor without being asked. "Thank you for your help, Rachel," Mama said. "What would I do without you?" While she did her chores that morning, Rachel tried to think of places she could find a flower for Mama.
"There has to be at least one flower out here, but I may have to look everywhere to find it."
She had just finished hanging clothes on the clothesline when she saw her friend Sarah walking toward her. Rachel told Sarah her plan. With their bonnets tied under their chins, they searched everywhere for something beautiful. They looked under the wagon, nothing. They searched through the sagebrush, nothing. They looked near the edge of the stream, still nothing.
"Maybe we can find something over there,"
Rachel pointed to the field her father was plowing. The girls walked toward the field. Rachel ran her eyes along the edge from one sagebrush bush to the next. Suddenly, she spotted a small white flower. It had three white petals and a purple center. Rachel gasped. It was a sago lily.
"Look, Sarah, isn't that pretty?"
Rachel gently picked the little flower from the red dirt and showed it to Sarah.
"It's perfect,"
Sarah said. "Mama!" Rachel shouted as they ran toward the cabin.
"Mama, look what we found."
Mama looked up from washing clothes, and Rachel gave her the flower.
"Now you'll have a beautiful flower to pin on your dress."
"Oh, Rachel, it is beautiful," her mother said. As she admired the delicate sago lily, tears came to her eyes. She pulled Rachel in for a tight hug. "Let's put it in some water to keep it fresh." As she finished her chores, Rachel kept glancing up at the sago lily. She felt happy every time she looked at it. In her prayer that night, Rachel thanked Heavenly Father for creating the beautiful flower to grow in the desert. She told him how happy she was that she found it. Then she climbed into bed. When Papa kissed her goodnight, he said,
"What a wonderful surprise, Rachel. You made your mother very happy."
Then Mama smiled and kissed Rachel on the cheek. "Thank you for finding me a beautiful flower. It reminded me that you're the most precious gift of all." The author lives in Utah, USA.
Sidebar. Once my little brother and cousin were fighting over a toy train. Mom was busy, so I talked to them nicely and divided the train in half. They stopped fighting and were happy. I was happy because I had helped Mom and followed Jesus' example by being a peacemaker. Malia R. H. 5, California, USA.
End of the story, Smiles and Sago Lilies, by Michelle H. Mirabel, read by Kristen Hawkins.
Family History Mystery, Case Number 5, Your Photo. Dear Detective, last month you collected information about an old family picture. This month you can find evidence about a newer photo. Get a copy of a recent family photo and paste it into your evidence file. Then label it with all the information you can find out. Who is in the photo? How old are they? Where and when was the photo taken? What else happened on that day? Print more tags for your sleuth kit at friend.lds.org. End of the section, Family History Mystery, read by Ethan Nelson.
Teach Me to Walk in the Light. Words and Music by Clara W. McMaster.
Thank you.
watch a music video for this song at children.lds.org. Click on Videos and Music. End of Teach Me to Walk in the Light. Read by Jane Wise.
The Bad Mood Bus by Aaron Jones Price, based on a true story. Kylie stepped onto the big yellow school bus, trying not to look right at Marcia, the bus driver. Marcia always gave Kylie a look that made her feel like a bug under someone's shoes. "Sit down and be quiet," Marcia barked over her loudspeaker. Kylie slipped into a seat next to her best friend, Tanisha. "Is she ever in a good mood?" Tanisha whispered to Kylie. "I don't know why she's so mean," Kylie whispered back. Just then, Marcia yelled, "Boy in the blue shirt, turn around and face forward!" Kylie and Tanisha looked at each other and frowned. They used to tell each other jokes on the bus ride, but now they were afraid to. Marcia might yell at them. On the way home, Marcia yelled at a girl for talking too loud. Kylie didn't say a word. When she got home, she sat down and put her head in her hands. "Is something wrong?" Mom asked. "I don't know why our bus driver is so mean," Kylie said. "Why does she hate everyone?" "Maybe she feels sad," Mom said. "Maybe she needs a friend." Kylie hadn't thought of that, but it made sense. Anyone could become grumpy without friends. Then Kylie had an idea. She got out some paper and folded a card. On the front, she drew some flowers and wrote, "To Marcia." On the inside of the card, she wrote, "Dear Marcia, my name is Kylie. I have one sister and one brother. I like to draw. Thanks for driving the bus for us. Love, Kylie." Kylie was nervous on the ride home the next day. Her hands shook as she pulled out the card. At her stop, Kylie handed Marcia the card, then ran out the door. Kylie thought about it for the rest of the day. She wondered if Marcia would be angry about the card. The next morning, Kylie walked to the bus on jelly legs. She thought Marcia might yell at her. But when she looked up, Marcia gave her a big smile, something Kylie had never seen on her face before. And then, even stranger, Marcia handed Kylie something. It was a postcard. Kylie read the postcard on the bus ride to school. "Dear Kylie, thank you so much for the card. No one has ever been so kind before. It sounds like you have a nice family. I don't have a family, but I do have three cats I rescued from the shelter. Thanks for thinking of me. Love, Marcia." Marcia didn't say an angry word for the entire ride. "What's that?" Tanisha asked, pointing to the postcard. Kylie grinned. "A letter from my new friend." The author lives in Utah, USA. End of the article, The Bad Mood Bus, by Aaron Jones Price. Read by Julia Carter.
Fun Stuff, You Found the Lost Sheep, by Ari Van de Graaff. Jesus taught a parable about finding a lost sheep, see Luke 15. Now you can help find the sheep. Number one. One guesser leaves the room while the others quietly decide which sheep is the lost sheep. Place a piece of candy or small snack on each sheep. Call the guesser back in. Number two, the guesser picks a piece of candy to eat and keeps going until he or she picks the lost sheep. Then the other player yells, "You found the lost sheep," and that turn ends. Number three, take turns being the guesser. Can you also find a ball cap, baseball, block, book, brush, camera, football, garden hoe, keys, phone, screwdriver, shoe, sippy cup, spatula, umbrella, and a wrench? Find other fun activities at childrens.lds.org. End of the section Fun Stuff. Read by Tess Hawkins.
For Little Friends, Puzzle Pals, by Laura Jill Jennings. Based on a true story. Choo-choo! Here comes the train! Luke drove the big black train across the floor and put it in the matching spot on the puzzle board. Vroom! This car goes fast. James raced the police car to the puzzle board. Beep, beep. Watch out for the school bus, Luke said. James picked up an airplane and flew it towards the puzzle board. Incoming! Uh-oh. Only one puzzle piece was left. What could Luke do? Luke picked up the fire truck and held it out to James. Let's do the fire truck together, he said. Luke and James made siren sounds as they finished the puzzle together. A puzzle for you. End of the article, Puzzle Pals. Read by Rena Nelson.
Friend to Friend, Scriptures for Spencer. From an interview with Elder Marcus B. Nash of the 70 by Linda Davies. I love to read the Holy Scriptures, and every time I do, I feel the Spirit start to grow within my heart. Children's Songbook 109. When my wife and I were first married, President Spencer W. Kimball encouraged members of the church to read the Scriptures every day with their families. We wanted to follow the prophet, so we decided we would do that together as a couple and then with our future children. Years later, our family had grown to 5 children, including our youngest, Spencer. Once, when Spencer was 6 years old, my wife and I went away for just a few days and left the children with a babysitter. When we returned home, I sat down with Spencer and asked him how everything had gone while we were away. He told me that he'd had a hard time sleeping. When I asked why he didn't sleep well, he thought about it and said he did not know. Later that evening, our family began our nightly routine of reading the Book of Mormon together. Suddenly, Spencer exclaimed, "That's it!" I asked what he was talking about. "That's why I couldn't sleep very well at night." "Why couldn't you sleep?" I asked. "We didn't read the Scriptures at night while you were gone, and I like how the Scriptures make me feel." Spencer had learned that reading the Scriptures every day brings us the comfort, peace, and guidance of the Holy Ghost. We can learn to love the Scriptures when we read them daily. When we do, we will be guided by the Holy Ghost and strengthened by our Heavenly Father. End of Friend to Friend, Scriptures for Spencer. From an interview with Elder Marcus B. Nash of the 70 by Linda Davies. Read by Dwayne Case. Scripture Time. The Prodigal Son by Jean Bingham. Learn about the New Testament together this year. Have you ever lost something special? Jesus told some parables or stories about finding something that was lost. One was about a man who had a son that didn't want to wait for the money he would get when he was older. He took the money and left home. He did things that were wrong and spent his money foolishly. When all of his money was gone, he felt sad about what he had done. He went home, hoping his father would forgive him. When the father saw his son coming back home, he was so happy that he ran to meet him and welcomed him with love. Even though the son had been disobedient, he was still precious to his father. This parable teaches us that even when we do something wrong, Heavenly Father still loves us. We are precious to Him. He will always welcome us back with joy when we repent and come back to Him. We can follow in Jesus' footsteps by looking for those who are far away from Heavenly Father, helping them return to Him, and welcoming them with love. The author lives in Utah, USA. Learn more. Read Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, and see if you can find these words. Hint, one of the words is in the chapter heading. Find the definitions in the hidden message activity. Prodigal, riotous, famine, swine, husks, Compassion, fatted calf, entreated. Family talk. Use the scripture figures on the inside back cover of the magazine to tell the story from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Then think about someone you know who has not been coming to church. How can you let them know you miss them? Talk about how your family can invite the person to go to church with you or do something kind to show your love for them. Scripture tip. The beginning of each chapter in the scriptures has a chapter heading. It tells what happens in that chapter. The chapter heading for Luke chapter 15 lists three parables that Jesus gave to teach about finding people who have gone astray. Each parable in the chapter starts with a paragraph symbol to show where a new story begins. Can you find all three symbols? End of Scripture Time, The Prodigal Son by Jean Bingham. Read by Dwayne Case. Matt and Mandy. In this month's installment of Matt and Mandy, Matt and Mandy excitedly run into the house, shouting out what each would like to do the coming Saturday. Talking over each other, they both say,
Mom, Dad,
on Saturday, can we
go to the Rocks and Mineral Show?
Go to the horse show?
I really want to find a cool new rock for my collection.
I could take my sketch pad to draw the horses.
Dad reminds them,
Remember we decided we'd spend this Saturday together. But after our chores, we'll only have time for one activity.
And Mom gives them a challenge, saying,
Why don't you two work out a solution?
Outside, Matt and Mandy discuss ideas while sitting by a tree in their backyard.
We could flip a coin, but if I lose, I'm gonna be really bored at the horse show.
Yeah, I feel the same about the rock show. Hey, let's find something we both like to do.
I don't think Mom would let us eat cupcakes all afternoon.
I've got an idea. That movie we've been wanting to see is at the Dollar Theater now.
Brilliant!
End of this month's Matt and Mandy.
Article of Faith 6. We believe in the same organization that existed in the primitive church, namely, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and so forth. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he organized his church with apostles, teachers, and other leaders to bless the members of the church. The church today is organized the same way the primitive, or earlier, church was when Christ was on earth. A pastor means a spiritual leader. Bishops are pastors in their wards. Evangelist is another word for patriarch, or a priesthood holder called to give special blessings. Articles of Faith in Action.
President Monson inspires me to always help others and do what is right, even if it is hard. I want to be just like him in Jesus Christ. I will follow the prophet. Katrina H., age 11, Utah, USA.
Memorization tip. Article of Faith 6 lists callings that were restored when the church was organized in the latter days. Remember to include so forth as the sixth thing in the list. This month's challenges. Memorize Article of Faith 6. Read Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. Hint, the word office can also mean calling. Why do we need lots of different callings in the church? Why is it important that the church has the same organization as in Jesus' day? Talk about it with a family member or friend. I challenge myself to print more cards at friend.lds.org. End of the section, Article of Faith, read by Levi Williams.
For Older Kids, Better to Be Nice by Kimberly Reed, based on a true story. Why should we let David play with us? He was a boy. When I am kind to others, my heart sings. Children's Songbook, 145. Boys were mean. By the time I was in fifth grade, I knew that for sure. One time, some boys stole my favorite umbrella and smashed the handle. Another time, they chased me across the playground with spiders. They even made fun of the way I kicked and threw a ball. I did not like boys. One rainy day, my class had to stay inside for recess. So I found a board game for my friends and me to play. As we set up the game, a boy named David walked over to us. "Can I play too?" he asked. I narrowed my eyes. My friend stared at him. I didn't remember David being mean to me before, but that didn't matter. He was still a boy. "Don't talk to us," I said. I glanced at my friends. They nodded. So I called David a mean name. My friends laughed. "This is a girls' only game," one of them said. "Okay," David mumbled. He frowned and walked away. My friends finished setting up the game, still laughing. I looked over my shoulder and saw David sitting alone, reading a book. He looked like he might cry. I felt awful. I'd made David feel bad, for no reason. Just like those boys had made me feel with the umbrella and the spiders. Maybe boys weren't the only ones who could be mean. And girls weren't the only ones who got hurt. "I don't feel like playing anymore," I told my friends. I went back to my desk and put my head down. Why had I been so mean? Maybe I'd been afraid David would be like those boys who'd been mean to me before. But he wasn't. And now I felt terrible. It would have been much better to be kind, like Jesus. I closed my eyes and prayed. "Heavenly Father, please forgive me. I don't want to be mean like that again." Over the next few days, I tried to remember that not all boys were mean. In fact, some of them were really nice. One boy in PE class even made sure that the girls got as many turns with the soccer ball as the boys. It took me a couple of days to get the courage to talk to David. I still felt so bad about everything, but I finally talked to him during art time. I took a deep breath. "Nice drawing, David. I really like that horse."
Thanks. David barely looked up from his drawing. He probably thought I'd say something mean again.
So I smiled my nicest smile and kept talking as we worked. I hoped my friendliness showed I wasn't really mean and that I was sorry for what I'd said before. By the end of art time, David was talking too. He even told some great jokes. When I accidentally spilled paint on our table, he helped me clean it up. He didn't get mad, even though some of it got on his paper. David could have gotten mad or said something mean like I'd done, but he didn't. Being nice really was better. The author lives in Utah, USA. End of the section for older kids. Better to Be Nice by Kimberly Reed, based on a true story. Read by Julia Carter.
Special Witness. What Does It Mean to Hold the Priesthood? By Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. The members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles are special witnesses of Jesus Christ. The priesthood is the authority of God delegated to men on earth to act in His name. Worthy men and boys receive priesthood authority and are ordained to a specific office by the laying on of hands by those who are in authority to preach the gospel and administer in the ordinances thereof. Fifth Article of Faith. Men and boys do not need any special experience or education to receive priesthood authority. They do need to be worthy and willing to serve, bless, and strengthen others. A priesthood holder can be blessed with priesthood power when he is faithful, obedient, diligent, and righteous. Someone who is disobedient, unworthy, or unwilling to serve will have no priesthood power. Priesthood holders, young and old, need both authority and power, the necessary permission, and the spiritual capacity to represent God. The restoration of the priesthood. After Jesus and his apostles died, no one else held the priesthood on earth. Many years later, the priesthood was restored in May 1829. John the Baptist ordained Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery to the Aaronic priesthood on May 15, 1829. Peter, James, and John ordained them to the Melchizedek priesthood soon after that. A story from Elder Bednar's life. A lesson from my father. I learned a great lesson from my father about priesthood authority and power. I grew up in a home with a faithful mother and a wonderful father. My dad was not a member of our church, but still came to church meetings with our family. He coached our ward softball team and helped with scout activities. As a boy, I asked my dad many times each week when he was going to be baptized. My father replied each time, "David, I will join the church when I know it's the right thing to do." One Sunday, I asked my dad when he was going to be baptized. He just smiled and asked me a question. "David, your church teaches that the priesthood was taken from the earth anciently and has been restored by heavenly messengers. Why are so many of the men in your church no different about doing their priesthood duty than the men in my church?" My mind went blank. I had no answer for my dad. I knew that men who hold the priesthood should act differently than other men. Priesthood holders should not only receive priesthood authority, but also be faithful and worthy to exercise God's power. I decided I never wanted to be a poor example to my father. I simply wanted to be a good boy. The Lord needs all of us who hold the priesthood to be honorable, virtuous, and good boys at all times and in all places. A number of years later, my father was baptized. I had the opportunity to confer upon him the Aaronic and the Melchizedek priesthoods. One of the great experiences of my life was seeing my dad receive the authority and the power of the priesthood. Five facts about Elder Bednar. Born on June 15, 1952, in Oakland, California. Played quarterback on his high school football team. Served a mission in Germany. Was president of Brigham Young University, Idaho. Ordained an apostle in October 2004. End of the article, Special Witness. What Does It Mean to Hold the Priesthood? By Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Read by Dwayne Case.
P.S. We hope you enjoyed this month's magazine. Please write to tell us what you liked. How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or photograph, 1. Fill out the form below and include it with your submission. 2. Include a school photo or high-quality snapshot. 3. We might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. 4. You must be at least 3 years old to send us a submission. Please send your submission to Friend Magazine, 50 East North Temple Street, Room 2432, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-0024, or email friend@ldschurch.org. The following information and permission must be included. First and last name, age, state, province, country. I give my permission to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to use my child's submission and photo on the church websites and social media platforms, as well as for church reports, print products, video, publications, and training materials. Signature of parent or legal guardian. Email of parent or legal guardian. Visit friend.lds.org. Play games and watch videos. Read the friend online. Through your eyes.
This is a picture of a lizard we saw outside the library. I love learning new things about Heavenly Father's creations. Audrey F., age 9, Florida, USA.
The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, the Cub Scouts are throwing a rain gutter regatta. A father and young boy arrive with a full-sailed ship, which must have required real professional work in order to finish. The young boy holds up the ship and enthusiastically remarks,
"Sure, I helped. I carried it in here."
End of P.S.
Dear parents and teachers, many countries celebrate Mother's Day this month, which makes it a great time to encourage children to express gratitude for the women in their lives. You can use the matching game on page 15 to start a conversation about the faithful women you know. Then read Smiles and Segalilies, page 28. Help children make a flower for someone special using the instructions on page 27. Happy Mother's Day, The Friend. Order The Friend at store.lds.org. Family Home Evening Ideas. Repentance. Everyone makes mistakes. Read Honest Gabe, page 8, and do the object lesson on page 10 to talk about repentance. Share the story of the prodigal son on page 40 and the scripture figures on the inside back cover. How can you show love for those who are trying to repent? Family History Mystery. Use your detective skills to uncover clues about your family history, page 30. Choose a family photo. Who's in the picture? What are they doing? Add the info to your detective file. If you need more file labels, visit friends.lds.org. Baptism. Is anyone in your family preparing for baptism? Use the poem on page 24 to talk about the ordinance. Read Jacob's Baptism Interview, page 22. Talk about what you can do to honor your covenants. There's also a poster on page 11. Missionary Work. With your family, act out What It Means to Be a Member, page 12, and Cody and the Campout, page 16. What do these stories teach us about being missionaries and good examples? What missionary goals does your family have? Topics in this issue: accountability, baptism, charity, courage, family history, forgiveness, friendship, general conference, honesty, kindness, missionary work, motherhood, obedience, prayer, priesthood, repentance, scriptures, and service. End of Dear Parents and Teachers, read by Spencer Carter.